Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
A massive post-grand final show is ahead of you. This is Marto and Margo. It's the Big Breakfast.
Well, hey, well done, Margo. You got through it. You're like a heroin addict, you know, fighting
mate,
their addictions.
I'm yeah. sketchy.
No
I'm
Instagram,
pacing.
No
pacing.
Facebook. Well, you don't really do Facebook, do you?
Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp. Well, group chat for netball tonight. Yeah. Memphis is starting.
There's
night
been no group
on
chat.
A Tuesday night. I haven't been able to check what's happening in the group chat. I haven't been able to see how many likes and comments and messages I got overnight.
When it comes back on, will you just feast on it?
Just
give me Instagram.
Yeah, I'll be like a fat kid with a cake.
We'll find out once and for all, a childbirth, is there a worse pain than childbirth? We'll have that discussion with Marto and Margo and some listeners a bit later on, and geez, dumb criminals. Got a ripping story for you coming up as well.
Still Googling.
It's the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. This is Triple A.
Holly Breen, his humour ain't clean. With his handlebar moustache, he looks mean. It's Holly Breen.
God, here he is again, one of Australia's funniest men and a Queenslander who wishes he was back here. Holly Breen, howdy, mate.
G'day, legends. Look, I'm hanging on to Victoria, hoping that we'll claw back the most livable city in the world.
I think we're stuck in lockdown with all those kids of yours, I hear, Harley.
Yeah, mate. Not only am I stuck in lockdown with 3,000 children, but now I'm stuck in lockdown with a Kelpie that's on heat, which is, I mean,
messy.
It's a lot of fun. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's a dog period. She's got a once every 6 month dog period. And look, it's a bit of fun. Now, I haven't de-sexed my dog because she's a purebred Kelpie.
Yeah.
And I do have intentions of breeding her, but that does mean during lockdown, trying to take my dog that's on heat for a walk.
Oh.
Well, everyone's taking their dogs for walks.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a massive park at the end of my street, so I'm sprinting around it trying to keep all the other dogs away.
Oh, my God.
Because they can smell her coming a mile away, right? They're like, oh, I'll have a bit of that.
So how high is your fence at home? Because I hear dogs, if they want to get in, they can scale incredible things.
Well, mate, I've read the documentary Foot Rot Flats. I know how it is. And so I've got 8 foot high fences around it because we don't like neighbours anymore in this modern society. So you don't want to talk to them over the fence, which is not a problem. And I've decided not to go for walks around the park anymore because I can't be bothered running. And there's some pretty fast greyhounds that have really got an eye for it. So I've got her locked in the backyard, but that means she's going crazy. She's a Kelpie, right? So she's digging holes everywhere, and the miniature dachshund next door is trying to get through to her, which is pretty funny because I don't know what he's going to do if he actually gets into the yard. He'll need a stepladder. Just
get me a milk crate.
But she's digging holes all around the perimeter of the yard trying to get under the fence. And also, she's doing a lot of poo. Let's just be honest. She's doing a heap of poo. Working dogs eat a lot, and they process heaps, and they poo a lot. So I've had the genius idea of trying to fix both problems by digging up all the poo and filling it in the holes that she's digging.
Brilliant.
Which it is brilliant, right? Because she doesn't then want to dig in that hole. She just goes and digs
another hole.
Right? So I think I'm seriously endangering the structural foundations of my neighbour's property. But I've filled that all in. Well, anyway, guys, it's been a lovely time down here and there's been a lot of rain. And I didn't realise, but I'm in a rental, right? And they've got the plumbing for the roof of the shed and the garage in the back just emptying out into the yard. So it takes a while for the water to disperse. Wow. Anyway, we had so much rain that all of the holes filled up and the backyard is just completely covered in dog crap. So it's real good in lockdown
it's
in
like
Melbourne.
An aquabog.
Wow, you have lost your
floating
mind.
Floating around the backyard.
Talk to you next week.
Please, I'll let you know what happens next week.
Making
see you guys.
It Australia, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Channel 10, or you can stream it on 10 Play. This is Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, Sunday night, you were there at Suncorp Stadium with 39,000 other
Queenslanders.
And
we all had our masks on,
everybody,
all of us.
Lots of social distancing happening. I saw lots of drinking beer also, I saw. But no, this happened.
The Panthers celebrate. They thought it was coming last year. And I know it's a fragile statistic to say you've got to lose one to win one. And these people have had history revisited.
Yeah, incredible scenes.
Tell me about Rabs.
Obviously,
is that his last?
Penny
should
Panthers.
Should Rabs retire?
I think Rabs is going to retire.
I've heard that from a few people.
Yeah, it wasn't.
He doesn't call
not
any
the
games.
Old Rabs he is.
If you want to be a commentator, you've got to call games all the time.
Games, yeah. I'd hate to see Rabs go, but yeah, I think that'd be his last, one of his
it's
last
time
games.
To go,
time to go,
Rabs.
But the Penny Panthers, they certainly celebrated. Obviously, we saw Brian To'o propose to his girlfriend at the end of the game there on the sidelines. Nathan Cleary.
I watched the Clearys because I was about 5 metres behind them. We were just sticky beaking. Went down amongst the Penrith. I watched all the Clearys. First, it was Nathan first hugged his mum and then his girlfriend took over and then Ivan tried to get over the top to get to his wife, who's Nathan's mum.
The
then
brothers.
Some other bloke grabbed him and it was a scrum. In the end, it was just a full-on eight-person
incredible though.
Team hug.
Can you imagine coaching your son to a grand final win and
it happened
Clive
to me,
Churchill?
But it was under 13s. How supposed to happen? It was, we lost, though.
Oh, yeah, that's sad. But anyway, what a beautiful moment for the Clearys, yeah. But also for Penrith. Bam Bam Tuivasa, I could imagine, would have celebrated
which
in great.
He, the UFC Tuivasa, guy.
The UFC guy, big Penny Panthers fan.
The Penny Panthers!
We saw he celebrated last year, even though they lost. I think he may have pissed the bed at some point too.
I didn't know there were so many Penrith Panthers fans in Brisbane. They were surrounding. We were sitting at the Wally end. Mm. There were Penny Panthers fans, and they were so diehard. They knew all the nicknames. They knew everything.
You, of course, were there with our Carrie the King competitors
funny.
That ran it out on Friday down there at Suncorp Stadium. And one of them, Trevor, was the biggest Penrith Panthers fan of all time.
Celeste's husband. We might try to get them on later on today.
Have a chat to them a bit later.
They were great.
But no, it was credible. There were some amazing. Controversial moments, of course. A few bad calls going Sydney's way.
It's a stupidity in the rules. It's an absolute stupidity in the rules, and it's a technicality. Surely he's playing at the ball. That's a stupid rule. That's a stupid interpretation of it. It's
yeah.
stupid. It's absolutely stupid. You're quite right. It's all stupid.
Gus
wasn't
was
that
happy.
All in one go?
That was all in one go.
So
he just said
really
it was stupid.
Was he really biased towards Penrith?
There was a little bit of bias, but I they were talking about when he tackled. They were saying he played at the ball, but he didn't. Yeah. He was tackling the player, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. There were, you know, there's always controversy when it comes to the reffing of games if it doesn't go your way, of course. But everybody was talking about, of course, we heard it before, Ian Moss with Tucker's daughter, the pre-game entertainment. There it is. You hear it. And it was incredible.
Did anyone talk about that song as well? Did anyone talk about, I only noticed in the paper yesterday, did you notice it on TV, Thursday doing his Welcome to Country. And he got cut off by, they just stopped it. You know, I thought he got to the end. I'd heard enough.
Well, Thurston,
and then the national anthem.
I think the producers were busy in Thurston's ear that night. Well, there was the Welcome to Country where he got it cut off. And then at the end, he was doing a post-match interview with captain, one of the co-captains, Isaiah Yeo.
Yeah.
And he asked Isaiah a question and then forgot to put the mic in front of Isaiah's face to get the answer.
Wow.
So just JT's nodding and listening because nobody else can hear what he's saying because he forgot to give him the microphone.
So he's
and
used
then
to
you
talking
hear,
to Cam Smith or Lockie who have got a microphone
just,
themselves.
Yeah. So he's just listening to what Isaiah Yeo is saying. No one can hear him. And then you can see the moment that the penny drops because his producer obviously said in his earpiece, mate, put the microphone in front of his face.
My God.
So he's looked to the camera, looks relatively perplexed and confused, and then quickly shoves the microphone in his face like as Isaiah Yeo has finished saying whatever the response was. So JT might be
Muppet JT.
Might be looking for a new job. But you mentioned the pre-game entertainment. It wasn't just all about Ian Moss. The Queensland Orchestra were there.
Of course.
Bit of Fatboy Slim.
Of course.
Right
it was
here,
like 40
right now.
People. You should have seen the effort to get them on the field and off the field again.
The Queensland Orchestra, just incredible. There was some Indigenous performers, Shine. Relatively upbeat Yothu Yindi track they performed, which was obviously incredible and a good nod to our elders past and present. But the big talking point of the night, Marto, there's always one that lets you down, and the NRL fans found themselves let down by Timmy Trumpet.
Oh,
There was a lot of talk in the Twitter sphere who the hell are the Stafford brothers? What is this? This is rugby league, not a Gold Coast nightclub. This is not Sin City. This is Suncorp Stadium. And it did. It took me back to circa 2000.
Rugby league's not a trumpet crowd, is it?
Took me back to 2003, dancing on bars at the GPO in the Valley, which is where Timmy Trumpet normally would perform. Mm. Not at the Suncorp Stadium.
5 o'clock at 5:30 in the afternoon.
It's a day rave.
Can I give you one little observation? Now, I was walking around level 3. You know how you can walk the whole way around. With my mate, said, let's go and have a look before we settled into our seats.
What colours were you wearing, Marto?
I had a Rabbitohs towel over my shoulders and my mate had a Panthers towel.
Were you wearing them like capes?
No, well, they hadn't been made into shorts, wearing them on our head and around. So I was uncomfortable because I didn't care who won. But what I did want to say is walking past someone going, Jesus, who's that? And thinking it's a rugby league player. Is that Ryan Papau? How do I know this guy? And it was Bodie Barrett and Damien McKenzie. They're the All Blacks.
Two of the All Blacks.
I know we're a rugby league crowd, but they were taking this four people, these two girls and two guys, just handed them their phone. Can you take a photo for us? And I'm going, Christ, hold on. There's two of the best rugby players in the whole world, All Blacks. They played the night before against South Africa. They got a photo. They handed the camera back, and I didn't say g'day to them or anything. They walked off. And I went, did you know who just took your photo? And they said, no. I said, do you know who the All Blacks are? Yes. So I told them. I said, well, that was Damien McKenzie. That was Bowden Barrett, the world's greatest player. And they said, we don't really know rugby union. I went, Jesus. What?
It's all stupid.
It's all stupid.
What a funny afternoon.
6:17.
Everyone had their mask on.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Geez, it was a bit of a story on the news last night involving a former international cricketer who used to play for Queensland as well.
These crooks have picked the wrong target. That's Aussie cricketer and reality TV star Lee Castledine meeting two people who wanted to buy a laptop he was selling. In a split second, they swipe it from his hands and run off. But Castledine isn't copping it, jumping his front fence and going after them, getting the computer back.
My favourite thing in the whole world, when you don't take things lying down, when you hit back, when evil people like this. So he was selling it and they arranged to come over, and for some reason he must have been slightly sus. Now, Lee Castledine played one day cricket
Survivor, wasn't he?
Well, you know
him
from Australia.
I'm sure he played cricket, but I know him from Survivor.
And he was bloody good. He was really fit.
He was in 2016, I think he was the runner-up, and then just last year he'd come back on it and he was in the All-Stars one.
Great fella. Nice fella,
nice
Lee Castledine.
He's always at the races. I think he's a racing ambassador in Brisbane. He's on that Queensland Weekender. Right. Channel 7 Sunrise.
Well, that's a pretend television show, but that's not right. But the thing is, he had CCTV and his son was on the veranda as well, was actually in the shot.
What sort of computer? Like a laptop?
Just looked like a laptop. And they just walked along the street.
Was he selling it on Gumtree or Facebook Marketplace?
I guess so. Yeah. Because they were two young lads. They walked up and he was ready for them sort of thing, which I don't know whether they...
He saw them coming.
They didn't appear to have a car, so that's always sus to me. If people haven't got a car, you go, what, you caught the train here to buy a laptop? Anyway, so they came along, and as soon as he went to show them that, they just snatched it and ran. He then jumped the fence and chased after them, apparently yelled out, when I catch you, I'm going to get you. And
he's fit and fast and quick. I wouldn't want to take him on.
They would have just thought, old bloke with a greyish beard, but no, they underestimated
him. They
dropped the thing and kept on going. He grabbed that, reported to the police. They've got vision of them, la, la, la.
Did he give him one?
No, he didn't catch him because he just went, righto, I'll take that as a win. He's got his laptop back and went home. And imagine his son, because I saw him in the shot, he would have just gone, Dad, you're a legend. That was
incredible.
The best ever. Like, he's 40 or something now, isn't he?
Mate, he's fit
Lee Castledine. Fit as. And I just want to run it from then. When did you take on an intruder? It's one of my, because they had Todd Okefi on the other night, the wallaby who'd been attacked. He's feeling okay, but they had the guy who from next door, he grabbed him on that Ben Cannon.
Yes.
He's a legend too. Just want to know, I love people who step forward when a lot of people step backwards and shrink. I love people who go forward.
It's fight or flight, isn't it, really?
Well, they've decided to fight and not get scared and go backwards. When did you take on an intruder? It's happening more and more. I love these stories of, I know the police are saying, it's our business. No, it's, it's have a go. 133353, when did you take on an intruder?
Some heroes also drink beer. Brick Lane Draft, massively refreshing. We'll give away some cartons
good
of beer
bribery,
as well.
Jamie.
Yep, thank you.
Michael from Daybra, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, 133353, you've called because did you take on an intruder?
Yeah, I did. I was about 12 years old.
What?
Wow.
Young hero.
Yeah, I was living in a place called Broadmeadows in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at home for the day and I had to go pick up my little sister from school. So I've locked our German Shepherd inside and gone to pick my sister up. And as I've come back and I've noticed the dog's outside, I'm thinking, what's going on here? So I walk up to the door and I notice the door's been kicked in and I could hear someone inside. So I thought,
Jesus.
Okay. So I've walked in. I could hear them up to the left side of the house. So I walked around in the kitchen and got one of those big old kitchen knives that Mum and Dad used to have.
Yeah.
And I'm walking up the hallway with this big kitchen knife, not knowing what I'm going to do. And I get to the bathroom and there he is in the window and he sees me with the knife and he legs it. So I run out the front, get my dog and just yell, get him. And the dog's chased off after him. I've called the coppers and he's got caught about an hour later.
Jesus.
Wow. Hold on. You had the dog squad when you hit the home. Why did the dog get him when he kicked the door in?
Well, the dog was a big sook.
Were you a big 12-year-old? Because you've walked in the front door and he's decided to hop out a window. He was so scared of you.
Yeah, I think it was the knife. The knife was
knife. Yeah,
this is a knife.
That would have got me,
Michael. That's your one and only intruder story, and it was when you were 12.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
incredible. Shall we reward him now? I reckon, Michael. That's a long time to wait for.
Woo. You've got to listen to other stories. There might be someone with a better story.
Okay, right on. We'll find out.
Stand by, Michael.
Catherine right. from Kedron. Good morning, Catherine.
Morning.
Yeah, did you,
you all?
Confront some intruders like Lee Castledine did with his laptop?
Oh, my God. I've had three intruders that we have confronted over our lifetime with my boys.
Yeah. Really?
Let's have them.
The best story is I had a hairdressing salon. I live at Palm Beach now on the Gold Coast.
Yes.
But I had a hairdressing salon at Kedron, and out the back was my house. And my boys come through and they go, my youngest son, Lachlan, he was 11 then, and he comes out, Mum, there's a man in the house. So he comes through, runs out. I see the guy running through the house. He comes up the driveway. So I run out the salon. It's about 6 o'clock at night.
Hey.
I run up the street, chase him up the street. He gets in the car. I stand in front of the car and I say, mate, get out of the freaking car.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming, standing in front of the car. He could have run me over.
Yes.
Anyway, they caught him. They caught him in the end. The police came and interviewed me because I'd seen him enough. I saw his face and, yeah, it was a
Catherine, what did he steal? Did he steal some Just for Men? What do you steal from a hairdressing salon?
He was in the house.
Oh, in the house.
Did he take anything?
No, he didn't take anything. He made a mess.
He made a mess
down the very end. Yeah.
Catherine, was your heart pounding out of your chest? Were you scared? Were you nervous? Or you were just in the moment?
I was in the moment. The police said, what you do, it's fight or flight, and you were doing the lioness thing. You were protecting your
boys.
Protecting your boys.
Wow. Yep.
Incredible, yeah. Catherine. Thank you.
So there you go.
Jeez.
Was that going to finish with, there you go? Well done.
Brett
there you go. Manly. I love it. Well, there you go. It means it wasn't much of an ending. Brett from Manly.
Yes.
Hello, mate. Did you ever take on an intruder?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, this was in Cairns, and I got broken into by a couple of young blokes, and cut a long story short, the coppers actually end up catching them, and then anyway, I got all my stuff back, so in appreciation, I took a carton of grog down to the local cop shop, and slid over to the old desk sergeant, you know, and he was like, oh, yeah, no worries, and he said, thanks very much. And as he was doing that, he slid across the charge sheet, you know, and I had a look and I could see the address of the offenders. So I thought, right, I'll go and pay him a visit. So I went round and knocked on the door. And anyway, the lady comes to the door and a young bloke. And I said, oh, you know, you're one of the offenders that broke in my house. I said, where's your mate? And he said, oh, well, he's at work at the local KFC down the road. And I thought, right,
you.
Okay.
Next venue.
What a mate.
So next place where I stopped, you know, was the KFC. And I walked in there. Anyway, I walked up to the counter and this guy says to me, oh, can I help you? And I said, oh, I'm after such and such. And he said, oh, hang on. And anyway, I could see through the little cannery window. This guy turns around, he looks at me and he said, the fellow at the counter says, well, what are you wanting for? And I said, oh, I want to have a chat to him about something. And he said, oh, he can't. He's working at the moment. And I said, okay, well, I'll just tell you here. And so at the top of my voice, you know, with a shop full of patrons, I said, oh, you're the bastard that broke into my house this morning, you know. And then manager's looking at him, and all the staff are looking at him, and I said, you come near my house again, and I'll break your bloody neck, eh?
Did they offer you a free chip?
I think everybody in the shop was looking at him, and I just turned around and I walked out. And I thought, right, you bastard.
Wow.
I hope you get the sack, and I think he did actually. He got the sack.
Well played, Brett. Brett needs.
Yeah, he's down a carton.
Down a carton. Give him one to top it up.
Brick Lane Draft. Find at your local Dan Murphy's. Thank you so much for calling through, Brett. We really appreciate
yeah.
it. It's the Big
no
Breakfast,
worries.
Marto Marto. This is Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
The workplace rock-ups are back. The guys back in the Triple M Rock Patrols coming to you with something good to eat. Want a tasty, fresh lunch van to come to you? Tastyfresh.com.au.
Oh, stop right now.
Yeah, I will.
I had a cheeseburger out of it last week of that van. Incredible on Friday.
Well,
they're coming out to help us tomorrow.
You guys are going out tomorrow. You can register your workplace at triplem.com.au.
Marto, you were just telling us about Lee Castledine meeting those two gentlemen who came to, well, supposedly, look and buy his laptop that he was selling, and they snatched it, ran off with it, and he chased them down.
And he got it back.
Got it back. You could call them maybe dumb criminals. They didn't know who they were coming up against when they went into it.
You got to do your analysis of your opposition,
whether
in life or
down?
In thieving.
Yes, let's turn around and walk the other way and not attempt this, perhaps. And so I thought that this might be appropriate to do today.
Dumb criminals.
Yes. I love dumb criminals.
We haven't done it for a little while, but your example there this morning. There's also another one which I read on Daily Mail, of course, a very credible source.
Yeah.
At 3:30 this morning when I was sitting on the toilet. It's the first thing I do.
Too much information.
And I thought to myself, I laughed, and then I thought, what a bunch of idiots. And that's actually what they have called themselves. Let me tell you what these two idiots have done, because they've said, let the lesson be that we are idiots. Idiots. Do not try this. Because
they're self-admitted dumb criminals.
Self-admitted.
Idiots.
Claire Vickers, 46, and her pal, Barry Douglas. Claire and Barry, 44.
Oh, no, stop. Her pal?
Her pal, that's
her
what it
pal.
Says. Her pal.
Is that lover?
Her
is that
pal.
De facto? No, de facto?
I don't know. Here's a photo of them.
They're both in wheelchairs.
They're both in wheelchairs, Marto.
Are they Paralympian style thieves?
Both of them have suffered broken shins and shattered feet after pulling a stunt at a water park, Marto. What has happened is these after a big day on the drink, the two friends snuck into an outdoor swimming pool during a night of drunken antics, and they found themselves, after speeding down a water slide at 2 a.m., injured because it was blocked by a barrier at the end. The end of the slides.
What, when you get to the, just before
off.
The swimming pool, when you're about to get the good bit.
Is
there a door there?
There was a door.
No.
It had been blocked off because the park had
someone
people
had done
break
this.
In and done it before. So what they thought they'll do is they'd say, oh, we'll stop them in their tracks.
So they jumped the barbed wire fence or whatever to get in.
The
they've got
get
walked
in.
Up the stairs to the water slide.
They have
come
walked
down and they've
the water
just
slide.
Hit the wall. Oh, no.
Did you put it at the top, not the bottom?
What a great point. But then they can come from the bottom. Oh.
It actually says here they wriggled their way under a fence.
They went under. How old? 46. She's old to be doing this.
They came prepared because they poured water from a footpath down the water slide, which was dry, of
course. From a footpath?
As she sat down, Mr. Douglas put his legs around her and they slid down together.
Oh, she was in front.
It wasn't.
So she broke the wall and he just... Had they both broken feet and shins and ankles and
it
stuff?
It wasn't until they were rushing down the tube at speed that they spotted the barrier.
What?
They slammed into it feet first, causing Miss Vickers' shin to snap through the skin.
Oh! Oh, that's horrible.
All of the bones in her left foot were broken. She banged desperately at the side of the tube while screaming for help.
Now, is there anything about, did it go to court? Did the judge fall off his chair laughing? What happened?
Both of them, Mr. Douglas, who's a forklift driver, broke his left leg and both ankles, describing the pain as unbearable.
Oh,
don't you think that's something that possibly you might check before taking your foot bath to the local water park?
No. If you can get in it, surely you can get out of it.
Oh, that's
what a bunch of nasties.
Thank you.
Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Hey, very brief, but I just want to give an update on the plague, if you wouldn't mind, the COVID plague.
The bubonic plague or the black plague?
No, just the current
one. The COVID plague.
Yeah, the COVID plague. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If I offered you the option of getting cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or COVID, which one? You're only allowed one of them.
Only pick one. Well, COVID, because I would recover from that one.
Correct.
Cancer, I would die from. Heart disease, I would die from.
Correct answer.
What was the other one? Whatever that was.
Correct answer. No, you don't want any of the others.
No, I don't want anything. COVID, I'd take if I had to.
Plenty because, oath, you seem to get better.
I'll be okay.
Because the average death age is older than... Anyway... We didn't get locked down yesterday.
Hmm.
Everyone who was cynical, like myself, figured that we were going to get locked down after the grand final.
We didn't need to because Jeanette Young extended the state of emergency to the 26th of December, remember?
And thank God our Deputy Premier, the robot I like to talk like this, he said we're ready to go if there are problems.
Our hospitals are very well equipped and prepared for whatever might come.
Our hospitals are
prepared.
He's
not doing anything to deny that status of robotic.
The robot. He might have had a hangover.
Hey, did you see Anastasia Palaszczuk? Was she at the footy on Sunday night?
No.
In
that would have been
corporate box?
That would have been on those top levels where proper people
sit. You were down with
sit.
The plebs.
We were the plebs, exactly. So Stephen Miles, the robot, the minister for whatever he is, the deputy Premier, he said, hospitals prepared, we got no worries. If Delta just swamps us, we'll be fine.
We're going to be fine.
Well, here's one of the women who runs the emergency departments in our hospitals, okay? She might know better.
From an emergency doctor point of view, I don't feel that we're ready. My colleagues and I are really worried about what will happen when we add COVID cases to our already large burden. We're already at capacity now.
Oh, speaking to a real person, they're already at capacity before...
For what?
For all the people who have got cancer and heart disease and diabetes, they're full of those people like normal. They're worried about what will happen. So that's the proper reason on why we're not opening our borders up. Anyway, let's go to this mystery case. Remember they said, did you know there was a mystery?
There's one.
There are no close links that we've been able to identify. She hasn't been to any known exposure sites.
Okay. Hasn't she been infectious in the community for 10 days?
That is correct. We hold off on that because remember last week when they were talking, when are we going to lock down? It was only, remember Governor Straw said it was going to be when we didn't know the background.
Last week, the Chief Health Officer said a mystery case could trigger a lockdown.
Definitely, if we start seeing unlinked cases that I can't say where they've come from.
There's some things just not
adding up. The consistency would not be there, would it?
Now, do you know much about Brisbane and the geography? Because...
anyone who lives in that Fitzgibbon area, or indeed anywhere from Redcliffe down through Chermside to Cannon Hill, please, any symptoms at all, come and get tested.
Has she ever been out of the suburb of Ascot or wherever she lives? Because that is a swathe of 50 kilometres from Redcliffe down to Chermside, just that
just
little
even
bit.
Chermside to Cannon Hill.
Cannon Hill and to Redcliffe.
That's a 50-minute drive.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, I think we all know what the mystery case does.
A swathe of new exposure sites have been listed, including four massage parlours and stores at Westfield Chermside.
Okie dokie.
She gets a lot of massage.
No, no. And I just want to, apparently, and one of the reasons Queensland's been going so well is because of the QR contacting, the contact tracing. But when you go to a massage parlour.
There's been some check-ins happen, but possibly not as many as I'd like.
Are you talking about blokes sneaking around getting hand shandies? Is going that what you're talking about?
They're going in the back door. There's no QR code there, Marto.
This is Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, the grand final's been won and run. We just want to talk briefly about it because the old saying, you've got to lose one to win one, proved correct for the Penrith Panthers, as it did in 1990. They lost. 1991, they won. They've done it again.
2020, they lost.
All right. So the fairy tale wasn't there for Benji Marshall, for Adam Reynolds, or for Wayne. No fairy tale.
No fairy tale.
He looked a bit sad after the game, just standing there while the Penrith team took all the attention.
Looked like he was contemplating his life, didn't he?
Well, he was.
Despair.
And it's and I saw he didn't say too much at the press conference, but he did say,
he's 71.
Today is not a good day, and tomorrow will not be a good day. The state of mind I'll be in is to make decisions about my future. So I wasn't looking for a fairy tale ending. I'm not finished yet. I'm told you I'm tired from catching.
apparently Benji Marshall hasn't finished it either. Did you hear him? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Done. I'm not done yet. Neither is Wayne.
Now, there was talk Benji coming up to the Titans. Now, that will be a fairy tale. Back to Keebra Park to finish grade 12 probably. But listen, luckily I kept the microphones on and I didn't realise because I had the microphone.
You were at the game. Did you sneak down into the dressing sheds?
No, I didn't turn them off from Friday. I've had the mic running the whole weekend with Wayne. I'm running out of tape.
You have been busy this morning going through all that audio.
Eventually he left. Eventually he left Suncorp Stadium, went home to Dale. Mm. It's all over. Let's not forget that. And don't worry, those Clearys, Nathan and Ivan, they can be a bit nasty sometimes.
We are the champions, Wayne.
That's enough. Leave us alone. That's harassment.
Who was that, love?
Oh, the Clearys again, Wayne, taunting you. They're both very handsome.
Oh, enough of that, Dale. We got bigger problems, love. For the first time in more than 50 years, I haven't got a job.
Let's ring Centrelink, love. What's your experience?
Well, I was a policeman and then I was a footy coach. I'm too old to pivot careers, Dale. I can't change. It's not about money, but I've got to keep myself busy.
You're 71, Wayne. You need a hobby. What about bowls?
Oh, please, Dale.
Fishing?
Oh, I don't drink.
Lapidary? You know, polishing stones or grow some orchids.
Oh, Dale, give me that phone. I'm still useful, I'm vital, I'm active. The game of rugby league still needs me. Hello? Is that the Redcliffe Dolphins?
Put your money on it. Put your money on it.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Yeah, it was a loose finish to the show on Friday. We ran down in the rain down to Suncorp Stadium.
Stopped down the show, Marto.
We had 3.5 couples down there vying for tickets or an upgrade. Well, if they turned up and carried their husband, no matter how long, they got tickets doubles to the grand final.
Yeah, we had Scott and Stacey from the Gold Coast. We had Sandy and Gary. We had Trevor and Celeste and then Molly and Nick. But Nick is an anaesthetist at the PA and he couldn't get out of work. Mm. So you filled in, Marto. You jumped on Molly's back.
I met him on Sunday at the game too.
Good guy. Nick,
oh, great fella. He was with his mate, no Molly, so...
Molly.
I don't know. Molly did
it
just...
She didn't get him the upgrade.
Molly did it for him to get tickets. It was beautiful. It was incredible. Full of love on Friday and then on Sunday.
And, of course, we crowned our king and queen, Sandy and Gary, who took out the run. You didn't see them?
They were in the upgraded fancy area. They would have been in the... probably with Anastasia Palaszczuk and those sort of people, whereas I actually got seats. Somebody pulled out. I got seats near these guys. Remember Celeste and Trev?
Yes, he's a big Panthers fan.
He had his Oak Penrith jersey on, and Celeste, who
Marto, they didn't win. Well, they didn't win because this happened. Marto is down there. Celeste and Trevor have fallen at the finish line. Her knees buckled under the wet surface. She fell. She was winning.
She looked to the left to make sure she had it in control. As soon as you
tried
it at home.
Trevor and Celeste, they were head for head the whole way, and then like 30 centimetres from the end, she plowed into.
There's nothing
Trevor,
worse. If we were at the races, they would have put a green thing around her and shot her.
Give her the whistle.
Honestly.
Oh.
And that allowed Molly and I to finish second. It was a great day.
She had her husband Trevor on her back and she threw him over her head. She crashed over the finish line. Trevor from Margate, good morning.
Morning,
Trevor,
guys.
What happened?
Well done, son.
Yeah, snail's probably a little bit too heavy for her. She's been carrying me for 10 years and couldn't do an extra 20 metres.
Now, listen, let's not worry how you got there. Sunday at the footy, you were sitting in front of me. Actually, we were shouting each other's beers. It was a bloody... Well, how good was it, Trev?
Oh, mate, it was bloody unreal. Thank you to Triple M for having us. And, yeah, I just wanted to shout Marto a beer to say thanks and then ended up bringing more beers back.
Shouted
and
you some, then you shouted me some. It was a great old time at the footy.
Had a lot of fun. And, Trevor, you are a real Panthers fan. You know, there was a few other people there that were rugby league fans, but your Penny Panthers, seeing them win, how was that?
Oh, mate, it was unreal. The only grand final in Queensland and the Mountain Men were there and I got to watch it. So
were you originally a Penrith person, Trev? I never asked you.
No, my parents grew up in Western Sydney and had their first house out that way. So that's where that comes from.
You were bred into the Panthers, yeah, Trev?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It's been a rough couple of decades, but we've come good in the last year or two. So.
Trev, I want to ask you, because we were there at the finish line when your beautiful wife, Celeste, crashed and burned right at the end there, and you had a group of friends there with you who were quick to screenshot the video that they had taken of Celeste falling and sent it amongst the group. Who are the group and who were your mates that were there with you?
Oh, just a couple of guys from the fire station up the road at Roma Street.
Just to tell everyone, Trev, we're 100 metres away from you right now. Are you at work this morning?
No, I'm not at work. I'm back on shift tomorrow, so I'm living the domestic dream with the kids today. And
What was the group chat like? Was there plenty of sledging?
Yeah, look, they're not real supportive. If you have an unfortunate event in your life, they tend to jump on it pretty quick. So
a humorous one.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I expected. I think they felt sorry for Celeste because she buckled under my fat. Yeah.
How is she feeling?
She was getting around like a half-open pocket knife for the rest of the day because her hip was sore. But
I bet she was.
She's come good now, and yeah, we had an awesome time at the footy. So,
what did you do after the game? Because I took off. I walked over near the Penrith families, the Wags, and stuff. Where did you go after we had a hug?
Watched a bit of the victory lap, yeah. And then a mate snuck us upstairs at the Caxton and had a couple more up there.
Oh, did we just?
Did you get home after midnight like Marto did too, Trevor?
We were pushing. I think we got in just before midnight, which is late for us.
And me too.
At this point in life.
Mate, you'll probably never go to another grand final, Trev. Would that be right?
Yeah, it'd be a
miracle.
Was it worth it?
Get to another one. Yeah.
It was worth it. Wasn't
well worth it.
Oh, it was unreal. It was such an awesome night. The atmosphere was great. And all those people just sitting there in that little Triple M crew.
Did you need yesterday as a public holiday to have the day off? Were you thankful for that?
Yes. Yeah, and I was definitely thankful that the kids were at the grandparents' place, so we had a sleep in and I was feeling a bit wounded. So.
Did you go to bed with your Penrith Panthers Oak jersey on?
No, I got up and chucked it straight on in the morning, though.
Oh, yeah, cool. That's what you need on a 37-degree day, a footy jersey. Hey, Trev, great night. Good on you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Trev.
Yeah, no, thanks heaps, guys. It was awesome.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, I know we're talking rugby league, but Saturday afternoon and evening, there was an All Blacks played the South Africans. If you don't know, South Africa beat the All Blacks in one of the all-time great rugby matches. It was extraordinary. Before that, Australia gave Argentina a real
whack. None of them got to play. That's why, too. Those Argentinians.
They were still sitting in New South Wales.
Only fielded half a team.
Watching the game.
They were still in Byron.
I need to get to the game. What's this border thing?
At the Byron Bay. They were at the Byron Bay Hotel, I heard, watching their teammates play.
Oh, were they? Of course. You're down there. You might as well go to the pub. I'm not playing. But it featured, and we played a little bit of it on Friday, it featured Sean McMahon, who I've got a huge regard for. He's a flanker for the Wallabies. Okay.
He said the toughest guy you know.
I reckon he's the toughest Wallaby I've ever seen. Like, but he was talking the other day, I remember, before the match. He hadn't played for Wallabies for nearly 5 years. He's finally come back from Japan where he's been because he's been stuck. Michael Hooper's the captain of the Wallabies. Mm. He was stuck behind him. He said, well, I'm buggering off. So he's come back. Anyway, he was talking about a tattoo that he got on his ass.
McMahon's pain threshold higher than most, as exampled by his vast array of tattoos. But one did get the fiery forward to flinch more than the rest.
Probably the one on my bum cheek. Yeah, got a 4X gold on the back there.
You asked, do you remember when we played the audio on Friday? Mm. Of course I remember, Marto, because I questioned both of you,
how
you
painful.
And Sean, how painful. They said, pain threshold higher than most. And I would like to see Sean, what's his name?
McMahon.
Him, push... four babies, not one, not two, not three, but four babies out his hoo-ha with no drugs naturally, and then let's see how pain high his pain threshold is then. Because I would say that pain from giving birth to a child would be of the highest regard.
That's an easy thing to say. You know, everyone says it. Oh, yeah, is it worse than childbirth? Oh, no, yes.
He was whinging about a tattoo on his bum. I've got 9 tattoos and I would take a tattoo on my bum over pushing out a baby every day of the week.
I've done this before and I'm not afraid to do it again. You know how they measure volume of water in either Olympic swimming pools or Sydney harbours? Mm. So you're saying pain should be measured on number of child children you've birthed naturally. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying it's pretty bloody painful.
I'm going to poo-poo because I remember we ran this. We've had a go at it a couple of years ago. And I said, I keep talking to women who say there are certain injuries that are worse than childbirth.
Yeah, I'm sorry, men.
Dislocated shoulder.
We don't want to speak to you because you've never lived through the experience of childbirth, so you can't comment on it. But if there are women out there, 133 53,
are we allowed to make it a women only phone topic?
Who have done children, delivered children naturally with no drugs, compare it to another injury and tell me that childbirth is not the worst pain you've ever experienced.
Compound fracture, your ankle would be worse. I'm going to say a dislocated shoulder that can't be popped back in. That would be worse.
Well, I don't know, Marto. Have you given birth to a child, a 9-pound 13 baby with no drugs and pushed it out your woo-ha?
1-3-3-3
You haven't, have you? No.
I'm not going to talk. 1-3-3-5-3 Ladies only phone topic. Just want to know, can you just assure everybody that childbirth isn't harder than there are things worse than childbirth.
Yeah, women that have experienced childbirth and something really, really painful. And give us a comparison. Tell me which one's worse. I don't know how Adam from Albany Creek's going to help us because he's not delivered a baby. Adam. Have you, Adam?
No, not personally, but I've witnessed my wife go through a 36-hour labour for our first, and it was a 24-hour labour for our second.
I know, but didn't do it yourself, Adam. So how can you give me a lived experience?
As I witnessed it, she wasn't allowed to have any pain relief. During the 36-hour one, I got a punch in the face.
Yeah, you probably deserved
it. A few years later... Yeah, I probably did, but a few years later she passed a kidney stone and she said it was far worse than that.
Thank you, Adam. Well, now, don't let Margo bully you.
With childbirth, you forget about it because I wouldn't have gone on to have three more children had it been really the most excruciating thing, but it was because then you forget because the love and the unconditional love for your baby and the adrenaline wears off.
Well, that says to me that it's not that bad. Like, cause I've had broken legs and stuff. Rick from Arumba Downs, so I know we didn't ask for blokes, getting kicked in the troop carriers, I think means the ghoulies is far more painful than childbirth. That is so true. After you say, you'll hear women say they don't have another baby. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Not one bloke has ever said they want to be kicked in the nuts again. That is wonderful.
That's a good point. Come on, ladies. Where are you? Mel from Bar Scrub.
Oh, here she goes. Hi, Mel.
You got anything? I have to say, blowing three discs in your back, though, is worse than childbirth.
Come on, Mel.
Thanks,
I've done two discs in my back, been on the green whistle in the ambulance, and I'm still claiming childbirth is worse.
Oh, I had no green whistle. I got sent to hospital. They told me it was common back pain and to go home. So for 4 days, I dealt with three blown discs in my back. And at least childbirth ends.
That's right. There's no end. Thanks, Mel. I'm so sorry. I hope everything's all right.
How many children have you had, Mel?
Four.
Yeah, you went through another one again. Why did you choose to go back if it was painful?
Because they're so awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome, aren't they?
That's right. And you forget the pain, so it mustn't be that bad.
It's that bad, but we're just superior when it comes to pain threshold that we can enduring it, which is why women are given the blessing of giving birth and not men, perhaps.
Quiet. Andrea from Marsden. Margo's talking too much this morning. She's trying to jam Monday and Tuesday into Tuesday. Andrea, have you had a pain that's worse than childbirth?
Yes, I have.
Okay, give us your lived experience, Andrea. What was your childbirth?
Don't bully her.
How big?
Let her tell her own
story.
How
natural? How many? And then give me the comparison.
Four kids, two naturally, two via cesarean.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there something that's happened in your life that's worse pain than natural childbirth?
Yes, I'd have to say yes. One thing I can think of.
Yeah, what is it?
I almost severed my Achilles tendon.
Were you running and it just went like a gunshot? It just tore completely?
No. No, I accidentally tripped over a hedge trimmer in my husband's shed.
Jesus, pissed.
Which is a story in its own.
I'm sorry, Andrea, that's not funny.
You were pissed, weren't you, Andrea?
It's funny now. Yeah. It wasn't funny then.
It's not funny, but in hindsight.
So it severed your Achilles tendon, is that it?
85% of it, yes. It was hanging by a thread.
Ooh, ouch.
Was that worse than childbirth, yes or no?
It was worse than my natural childbirth, yes.
That's right.
The only thing that could top that is the trauma of the cesarean.
Jeez. Really? Oh, wow. Tell me about that, Andrea.
I didn't work well with the numbing. so I could feel everything. So they had to put me to sleep.
Oh, goodness. We might hang on to you.
Yeah, we might need to talk about that because we had a gentleman who was, like, feeling his vasectomy being done. Remember
quote?
He said the numbing didn't work on him last
week.
Andrew,
we could be ringing you back about some more gruesome stuff.
Hey, what's worse, the delivering a child by C-section or having a vasectomy done while you can feel it?
Listen, can we just wrap things up here? Paige from Wavell Heights on the burner phone. I'll take childbirth over having gallstones again every day of the week.
I mean, we've got no percentage of callers. But what about Tam from the Sunny Coast? She said had natural births, most painful thing she's done.
Look at Katie. Katie from Ormo Hills, double heart attack is worse than childbirth.
This is crazy.
I would think so. Noreen from Ipswich had three children and her appendix burst and childbirth is worse. Didn't put any of them callers through, did you? There's men on our phones out there, isn't
there? Thank you for your calls this morning. The Big Breakfast to Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.